Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California.
Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast. We have a good podcast for you this week, and before we get to it, I want to remind you that you can find us on iTunes and download the podcast there along with on our site, Fansmanship.com. And this week on the podcast, we have a Cal Poly-focused podcast. First, we have Cal Poly radio voice, Tom Barquette. Tom does the radio for football, men's basketball, and baseball for the Cal Poly Mustangs. And I talked to him a little bit about how he got into the business and what his story was. And he's also been really busy lately, going from football to basketball. The football team had a lot of late road trips late in the season. They have another one coming up in about a week and a half, heading to Sam Houston State for the first round of the FCS playoffs. So Tom has a lot on tap for himself. I also got a chance to talk with Cal Poly blogger Katie Ryan. Katie runs a blog called The Line of Scrimmage. It's the official Cal Poly football blog. If you Google Cal Poly football blog, The Line of Scrimmage comes up, and I definitely recommend it. So let's start off first by talking with Tom, and here's our conversation. I hope you enjoy it here on the Fansmanship.com podcast. Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, here with the voice of Cal Poly. He is the voice of football, basketball, men's basketball, and baseball. Of course, Tom Barquette. Tom, thanks for joining us today on the podcast.
Always happy to spread the good word, Owen. Thank you.
Tom and I are both from the North Coast originally. I learned from one of his commercials from Morro Bay High School originally, and so a Slo County native. These last 3 weeks for you, Tom, the football team has been really successful, fortunately for Cal Poly, and you've been on the road a ton, and it's not going to stop during the next 2 weeks, I don't think. Can you kind of describe what the last 3 weeks have been like for you and what the next couple weeks are going to be like as far as your road trip schedule?
You know, from a professional standpoint, I love it. You know, I like getting in the bus, going to the airport, flying somewhere, seeing a new place, doing some exciting ball games like the NAU game, the Cal Poly one to get into the playoffs. I love everything about that aspect of my job, and I even like eating out because, you know, I get to go and find different little holes in the wall and stuff, and
sure,
you know, that's all fun, you know, but on the family side of things, Owen, it does take its toll. You know, many know I have a wife and two daughters, and okay, you know, they miss daddy and daddy misses them a lot, so from that standpoint it's difficult, you know, but I love my job, and I'm glad I'm doing what I'm doing, and thankfully my family understands.
And it's not the whole year long that you have this kind of a schedule. It's kind of just right now during this time of the year mostly where the overlap happens. I'm going to break it down really quick. The last 3 weeks, you've had two football road trips, and then the last home game, and then you went on the road again last week. There's basketball coming up at UCLA, and then a football trip to Texas, I guess a week from this upcoming Saturday. I think your frequent flyer miles are probably racking up if you guys aren't flying charters. How did you get into radio and broadcasting? You know, you're from the Central Coast. What's your story?
When I was 10 years old or thereabouts, I used to watch what I could on TV, you know, when we had channels 2 through 13, that's all we got. And I used to watch what I could, Monday Night Football or Saturday night, the Saturday game of the week for baseball with Joe Garagiola and Tony Kubek, and I loved listening to Keith Jackson doing college football on Saturdays, and I used to watch those games, and I used to think of things to say in my head, and a lot of times the announcer would say them shortly thereafter, and I said, you know, I can do this. That's something I want to do, and I was 10 years old, and that's all I've wanted to do since then was to be a radio announcer, and, you know, thank God it happened, and I'm one of the few guys on the planet that's doing exactly what he wants to do. You know, now, am I at the top of my game doing this? No, I mean, there's a lot of announcers better than me, but I love it. I mean, when I do a game, Owen, nothing else matters. Absolutely nothing else matters. Whatever stresses I have, whatever problems I have, it all goes away.
I It's interesting.
When I'm on the air.
I always love to hear kind of who different broadcasters, I guess, guys that they watched growing up. For me, it was Chick Hearn and Vince Scully being from here and being a big Laker and Dodger fan. So that's great. This year's football team right now, they're 7-0, or they started off the season 7-0. They lost two straight games, split the last two games, or they won the last two games, excuse me. They went 9-2 on the season. The brackets came out yesterday, and they're playing at Sam Houston State. What's been kind of the most enjoyable part of covering this year's Cal Poly football team for you?
You know, even though Cal Poly is one-dimensional from the standpoint that that's where they get the bulk of their yards is on the ground.
With the triple option.
Yes, I love watching the triple option, especially the way Andre Broaddus can run it. And Deontay Williams, the way he can surge when he at the end of a run and he initiates contact. And I love that aspect of Cal Poly Mustang football, the big offensive lineman with the tempo. I mean, you look at Giovanni Sani, you know, he's 6'5", 285 pounds. Yeah. That guy looks totally gassed sometimes midway through the second quarter, but he finds another gear. He finds a little bit more oxygen, and they get it done. Leffe Latuliasinoa, he's 300 pounds, and they're running a no-huddle offense. You know, that aspect is fantastic about the Mustang football team. Defensively, Kenneth Jackson's, you know, my favorite ball player. He's just a hard-nosed kid that is disciplined. He knows how to get it done. He watches a lot of game tape on the computer.
Yeah.
You know, he's a good ball player. He's a fantastic individual from Archbishop Mitty High School.
Yeah.
You know, he was a former fullback. You know, he dies to get his hands on the football, and he did with a couple interceptions against Idaho State.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of neat things about these young men that play football. Is no matter what I think of anything else, these young men that play are top quality individuals.
I've been really impressed this year when I interview the defensive players about turnovers or big plays that they've made. And the defense, while they've kind of bent a little bit as far as the passing game goes, and that's going to be an interesting story going into Sam Houston State, how are they able to stop the passing game? I always am impressed talking to like Nico Molino or Kenneth Jackson, and they say, you know, that team has run that play three times earlier in the game, and I knew they were going to run it again because they lined up the same exact way. And I anticipated the ball, and that was how Molino was able to make his interception, for instance, in Wyoming, and I think one other one that I talked to him about. Mentally, they're on another level for 18, 19, 20, 21, 22-year-olds.
Well, and a lot of that bodes to Cal Poly. I mean, these are smart guys. Tim Walsh knows that, you know, he can't go out and recruit somebody that can just carry a pulse and get into a university. You know, like a lot of the, you know, like say a Long Beach State or Cal State Northridge, the academic requirements aren't close.
Right.
You know, guys like Nico Molino, Sullivan Gross, and on down the line, these are guys with high SATs, high ACTs, and they're smart guys. You know, they're disciplined. They know what it takes to succeed in the classroom, and it carries over to the football field. You know, and that's the beauty of the kind of athlete that Cal Poly has and will continue to get.
Do Cal Poly fans realize how lucky they are to have a backfield that includes Andre Broaddus and Deontay Williams, and then to have a change of pace guy who's starting, and I would think in most years for Cal Poly, and Christon Ivory coming off the bench and kind of providing a lot of big plays and a lot of touchdowns that way as well. I mean, it seems like their backfield this year is stacked, and it starts with Deontay Williams, right?
Yeah, and Deontay, he heads it all up. You heard me mention earlier just about how strong of a finisher he is when he runs the football. And you mentioned Christon Ivory with the fast feet. Akinyene Umo is another one that has improved dramatically from last year to this year.
Yeah.
If anybody on the field passes the eyeball test in a hurry, it's Akinyene Umo, which, as many know, that means rich without wealth in Nigerian. That young man, the strides that he has made from last year to this year, not just physically but mentally, it's just a shame he got hurt for four games and couldn't play. But, you know, I love these guys. I mean, they're fun to hang around. They're fun to be on a bus and in the airport,
yeah.
And they're certainly fun to watch play.
Speaking of fun guys to hang around, you get to hang around with a couple of guys during a lot of your broadcasts that are former Mustang players for football, Kyle Shotwell, right, mm-hmm. and for basketball, Mike Wozniak. And when I was in high school in San Luis Obispo County, Woz was in college, and he was the Woz Show here in Mott Gym. And so I always really enjoy hearing his take on things. How important is that to have guys who have experienced not just college athletics but experienced it here at Cal Poly, and how nice is it to work with those two guys?
Yeah, the one thing about Woz is I wish I could have seen him play, Owen. I never got to see Mike Wozniak play because I was out doing other broadcasting in other
sure.
parts of the country. But Mike is as good as basketball color man that you will find at any level. He can say a lot in a small period of time. He knows when to get in, when to get out. It's quick, concise, and it's dead on almost all the time. He's fantastic to work with. And if Mike wanted, he could do that. And actually, he is doing this at a higher level, you know, with Compass Media Networks. Right. But he could go on and do other things, you know, with broadcasting because he's that good. And Kyle Shotwell, just the passion. You know, I saw him play. He brings that same passion to the broadcast booth, and he's not afraid to articulate and to say what's on his mind. Kyle's tradition. He is old school, Owen. You know, the guys that, you know, that celebrate and dance, you know, after a, you know, a good
hit.
He's
not about that.
No, it's like it's second and eight, and a guy will make a big play, and he'll jump up and down, and his team's down by 21. That'll drive Kyle nuts, you know, as well it should.
Sure.
But I love working with both those guys a ton.
Tell me, and I'll just tell you, because I did get to see Waz play. You talked about concise and being able to get a lot done with a little bit of movement was kind of the player that he was. You know, getting open and getting that shot off, what, you know, isn't easy at this level when everybody knows that that's what you're going to do. And certainly it was Waz from downtown back then. I also wanted to talk to you a little bit about the basketball team. They won their home opener after losing at a Big 12 school at TCU. What do you make of this year's team? They're really young. They're, you know, I think the fans have kind of a hard time predicting or having a great kind of finger on the pulse of exactly what this team's going to end up as. They're picked in the middle of the conference preseason. What can fans expect from this year's Cal Poly basketball team?
You know, I don't know if it's going to be this year or maybe next year, but I said this last year, and I said it with Joe Claro on the Cal Poly Coaches Show a couple of weeks ago. I think Chris Eversley is going to be the Big West Player of the Year, if not this year, next year. You know, it's just a hunch, you know, just watching the young men play.
Sky's the talent.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, beyond that, you know, if he puts everything together mentally along with his physical talent, I think he's going to be the Big West Conference Player of the Year either this year or next year. And to focus more on this year, Chris O'Brien, the charge that he took in that last game was one you'll never, ever see in a box score, and probably no one will ever talk about it, but it was the key play of the game. He had three fouls. They picked on him. They backed him down low, and he took a charge by holding his defensive position, and it changed the complexion of the game. That young man is going to be a difference maker this year, not by scoring points, but by what he can do defensively and keeping this unit together. Watch Chris O'Brien this year.
He still was their third leading scorer in that game with 9 points, I think. So, you know, he wasn't a slouch for sure. I was actually having an argument with somebody after that game, and they were saying, I don't know about Chris O'Brien. I said, Calero loves this guy. This is a guy that Joe's got to have on the floor, and guys like Chris O'Brien are going to find playing time no matter, you know, in Joe Calero's system all the time. You saw it last year, you know, where he was trying to find, where he found places for Jordan Lewis. Same kind of a guy where he's going to be in there. He's going to lock down somebody. He's a little bit versatile. O'Brien can play up to the four. I mean, he can play the one through the four, basically. He's a great ball handler, and is definitely somebody that I know Joe's really high on. I was going to ask you about Chris Eversley, but you just kind of told me about Chris Eversley. Can this year's team, you said maybe next year, they have three seniors, they're relatively young. Can this year's team sneak up on people in conference, do you think? What's the outlook there, and what is that going to depend on? What are going to be some of the key factors that might allow them to do that?
Joe Calero and his defense. When you say sneak, he will sneak up on nobody in the Big West because everybody knows, all the coaches know what kind of defense Joe Calero preaches with his team. So they won't sneak up on anybody in the conference, maybe some fans and some other members of the media.
Right.
Yes, but as far as I'm concerned, will they win the conference this year outright regular season? You know, I lean towards no on that. It's not a slam, but I just don't know if they'll win it outright. But can they get to the tournament and cause some problems and maybe sneak out a win two or three? Absolutely. Joe has always said, he says, I don't have to be good at the beginning of the year. I don't have to be good at the middle of the year.
Right.
I don't even have to be good at the end of the year.
Right.
I just have to be good for three games.
Three games in a row at the end. Yeah, absolutely. Would it be fair to say that a lot of what Cal Poly's, you know, the difference between maybe a three seed in the tournament or something in the Big West tournament or maybe like a six seed is going to be the play of the freshmen and the interior players like Brian Bennett and Zach Gordon?
Yeah, and that's the two. Yeah, I'm glad you brought them up because if they continue to improve as much as they think they're going to improve, boy, this team could be really good. Because Brian Bennett, you know, He's 6'8", 6'9", about 240, 250.
He's a big boy.
Yeah, and he's not afraid of contact. His offensive skills need work, but he's 18 years old.
He showed off a nice jump hook last game a couple times.
But it's going to get better.
Yeah.
And the more minutes he plays, and he's going to get a lot of them, as long as he stays healthy and stays out of foul trouble, he's going to get a lot of minutes. And Zach Gordon, while the same height, a little bit leaner, probably 20, 30 pounds lighter.
Right.
But those two young men, you know, they could really guide this team along, you know, with the Chris Eversley and Chris O'Brien, you know, helping them along the way.
And it was something that I was actually interested in seeing the first couple of games was whether those guys were going to be getting into foul trouble. And it seems like Bennett's been able to do a pretty good job, and maybe it's the teams that they've played. I mean, Northern Colorado's a three-point shooting team. They did a good job of helping him out against TCU. But whether Bennett can stay out of foul trouble, and when he does have to sit on the bench, whether Gordon can give, you know, some good bench minutes like he did at TCU. What about Reese Morgan? Here's a guy who's had two knee surgeries, and... Here's a guy who's had two knee surgeries. He's coming off severe leg injuries. He's a freshman. He's still trying to get his legs under him. What do you see from Reese Morgan, and do you feel like he's going to be 100% even at all by the end of the season? I mean, just by eyeball, you talked about the eyeball test with the football players. Eyeball test, he still looks a little bit hesitant sometimes.
Well, it's funny when you say he looks a little hesitant. I was going to kind of counter that, Owen, is that for me, I think Reese Morgan is completely fearless when it comes to taking a shot.
Mentally, absolutely.
Yeah, and he's not afraid. He and Kyle Audister, you know, those young men, you know, they're shooting, walking out of the locker room.
Yeah.
So Reese is not afraid to shoot, but I think the hesitancy, your point is well made, that he hasn't made enough shots yet. He hasn't made enough shots yet to be totally comfortable. And when he does find that game or two where he gets in that complete rhythm like he was in high school, I think he'll be fine. But, you know, the one other player I want to mention, too, is the non-flashy point guard of Jamal Johnson. You know, that guy, I think, is not going to create the world and get it on fire, but he's good at dishing. He's good at keeping people in the flow.
Sure.
I think very important to this team.
Sure. And one other point I was going to make about Morgan, when your base is hurt, your shot's affected. And if your base is hurt, you're not able to shoot the same way and practice the same way. So I think over time, and I think you saw it from Audister last year, where Audister's shot, you can tell this year, there's another level of rhythm to it, much more like when he was a freshman. It seems like for Morgan, that's going to come with time, I would think, for somebody who's so highly touted as far as his outside shooting ability coming out of high school. I think it was a fourth team All-American, right? The Parade All-American coming out of high school. What can people expect? Sam Houston State, have you had time to kind of look at them or get any information? Are you kind of taking it one day at a time for yourself too?
Well, I just kind of gave it a cursory glance on the internet, and I think they've scored 50 points, I think, six different times this year. And that Southland Conference is a tough conference.
Yeah.
And I know they just played Texas A&M. They were getting whitewashed, but they scored 28 late points.
Yeah. They only lost by like three or four touchdowns. Yeah.
Right. So, no, Cal Poly's going to have their hands full. You know, but oddly enough, I think being on the road is going to be an advantage for Cal Poly. I think they'll be able to settle in, be a little bit more focused. The coaches have a little bit more control about where the players go and what they do, what they eat, and the times that they come and go instead of being at home, and they can kind of do and come and go as they please. So I think being on the road, oddly, is going to be an advantage. And, you know, I think they're going to win. You know, I think they're going to win. I feel pretty good. I know they're the triple option. It's tough to defend, but they do it as well as anybody in the country. They're third in the country in rushing offense.
Right.
And I think they got to win.
Right. And one thing that I was thinking is with all the offensive line injuries that they've had, and they have 2 weeks now, getting that first round bye, how important was that for them, do you think? You're talking about those linemen.
Monumental. I mean, that was the one wish that Tim Walsh really wanted, is that he wanted that bye. And not just, you know the linemen. I know there's other players that got little dings and little bruises that they need the extra time.
Deontay's been getting knocked around all year, yeah.
And he got hit harder in Northern Arizona than he has all year.
Okay.
It wasn't close.
Okay.
I mean, that was a very physical defense that he played against Northern Arizona. So, yeah, the 2 weeks is very, very welcome.
Great. Here with Tom Barquette, the voice of Cal Poly. You can find him on ESPN Radio 1280 in San Luis Obispo and also on GoPoly.com on the audio stream. And, Tom, I really appreciate you joining the podcast today. Thanks so much.
Anytime. My pleasure.
what is fansmanship.com?
Say what?
We're a sports website by the fans for the fans.
He wants to be a Laker.
For the Central Coast.
Catch the ball.
California.
The sweat-stained glitter Simmons wig.
And beyond.
Tim Tebow.
We love sports. Fansmanship.com. By the fans. For the fans.
Flashing clip-on nipple piercing and pink or purple tanning thong for absolutely free.
Yeah. Fansmanship.com. By the fans. For the fans.
Names and color pops. Drop a dollar to the host and hold your glasses to the toast. It's a party here that's always known for good behavior. Coming through us to Kenny, your friendly neighborhood.
Welcome back to the podcast. Hope you enjoyed my conversation with Tom Barquette. Moving on, staying in the Cal Poly realm, we're going to talk with Katie Ryan. Katie is a junior or third-year student at Cal Poly. We talked with her about how she started the line of scrimmage, her experience early on in high school with the USC football team, and a little bit about Cal Poly and what their outlook is for the playoffs. Hope you enjoy it. Katie Ryan from the Line of Scrimmage, the official Cal Poly football blog here on fansmanship.com. I'm Owen Main, and today we are joined by Katie Ryan. Katie's blog, The Line of Scrimmage, can be found at, I believe, thelineofscrimmage.wordpress.com.
It's calpolyfootball.wordpress.com, and you can also find it on Facebook at facebook.com/thelineofscrimmageblog.
Great. So you can find it either one of those places, and Katie has pictures, interviews with the Cal Poly football team, and has been following them all year. Katie, tell me a little bit about your blog and kind of the genesis behind it, and how long it's been going for, and kind of how it's doing.
Yeah, of course. Well, I've grown up loving football, and it's always been a big part of my life. And when I came to Cal Poly as a freshman, I noticed that it was something that the football program was lacking, and it was a void that needed to be filled. And I had a lot of inspiration from USC's USC Rips It blog, so I figured using that kind of as my background and my inspiration, I would get started with that. And I went and I met with Coach Walsh, and he thought it was a great idea, and he was really behind it. And so then it just kind of started from there and kept growing, and we kept rolling with it, and it's still going today.
And when was that? Was that this year or last year?
That was 2 years ago.
2 years ago. Okay, cool. And so you're a student here at Cal Poly?
I am. I'm a third year.
Okay, so this was during your freshman year.
Yes.
Was it a little bit intimidating to, like, approach the football coach during your freshman year and ask him about being the official Cal Poly football blog?
At first it was. I was a little nervous before I went in, but Coach Walsh is an amazing person, and he was so easy and welcoming to go talk to. And he was super supportive of it, so it made it a lot easier.
Yeah, he seems like he's like a pretty down-to-earth like guy, and I feel like a lot of the coaches at Cal Poly, having been kind of around them, especially for the last couple of years, there's not a lot of big timing going on, I guess is how I would describe it. When you're in San Luis Obispo, that's something that you kind of have to be willing to kind of go out of your way to make people, like somebody who wants to do a blog, for instance, comfortable, and it seems like that's been your experience as well.
Oh, definitely. The coaching staff at Cal Poly is incredible, and all the players definitely think so. I mean, they're the whole background of the program, and I really appreciate how the coaches are so supportive of my blog, and they always ask me about it, and they're always willing to help, and they're so supportive, and I just really appreciate that.
I notice you do a lot of stuff at home games, like taking pictures of kind of like the different places that the team has to go. The football team has an on-campus stadium, obviously, but it seems like they go from wherever, and they meet up at Mott Gym and like do walkthroughs there, and then they walk down to their locker room, but a lot of them already have all their gear on. So like, how does that all work?
Yeah, it's a long process actually. So on game days, basically they'll have their pregame meal together as a team, and then they'll transition over to Mott Gym where they'll do their walkthroughs, and usually the offense goes first, and they have their walkthroughs, and the defense is getting taped up or in the training room getting stretched out, and then they'll switch, and defense will do their walkthroughs, and offense will get taped up, and then they all meet at 4 p.m. outside the gym, and they line up in their rows, captains in the front, and Coach PJ Johnston, he walks them down to Crandall Hall, and a lot of them, yeah, they're already in their gear because they go out in rounds and in groups of people out to start warming up. Uh-huh. And then they'll all go back in and get pumped up, do their pregame stuff. Yeah. And then the whole game starts.
Got it. Yeah, it's kind of different, it seems like, from kind of the traditional, like, you go into your locker room, you get dressed, you go out on the field. There's, like, a lot more steps, it seems like. And and I really like how you get all those in your pictures on your blog. It seems like there's kind of, like, the start-to-finish kind of storytelling. Is that something that you kind of go for?
Yeah, I try to give it the behind-the-scenes feel, that because most people aren't going to see all that. So I feel like in a program like this, why not give it the whole behind-the-scenes aspect, show the people what they can't always see.
Given that you get to go behind the scenes a little bit more, what's kind of one of the most surprising things that you've found as far as the football program goes, and what they do pregame, kind of how that all works as far as the logistics go? Is there something that's been like that jumped out at you the first time you were there? Wow, that's really cool that they do this, or that's kind of weird that they do this way, but it makes sense.
It's basically run like any other Division I program. Not too much is different about it. Probably my favorite part of the whole game day scenario, I believe, is after a win. It's incredible. They all go back into Crandall Hall, and they jump around, and they dance, and they sing, and it's probably one of the most incredible experiences I've ever been able to be a part of, because I really appreciate how they welcome me as part of their team. Sure. And I'm invited into all of that, and I think it's just so cool. It's really exciting.
So you get to be in the middle of all that. Yeah.
Who
are some of the more like gregarious players on this year's team? Kind of in the middle of everything.
Oh, guys. Alex Hubbard is always out there dancing. Anytime, like before the game, after the game, sometimes on the sidelines, he'll be out there dancing. He's always having a good time.
The Cal Poly safety.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Uh-huh. Johnny Millard's very outgoing too. He's a linebacker. Uh-huh. He's very outgoing. He's very fun. Oh my gosh, there's a lot of guys. Brandon Machakowicz.
That's great. I think that those kinds of things are always fun. And when you get to talk to the players after the game, some of them, you know, they really come off as like, you know, they just love being out there. I saw that you had a video interview with Deontay Williams, the running back, before the Northern Arizona game. And Deontay, of course, played his first season in Flagstaff. Talk to me a little bit about what you talked to him about leading up to the Northern Arizona game, and kind of what his feelings were about playing against his old team.
Yeah, well, I was able to speak to him about how in the Idaho State game, how he broke the record of number of 100-yard games.
And he had another one this last week.
He did.
Right, so he broke it by two now.
Yeah, it's incredible. He's doing great things. So I was able to talk to him about that, and he explained to me how that was one of his original goals coming into the season, and how he feels so blessed that he's been able to break that. And then he was so excited to go play at NAU because he played there before. He had a lot going on it, and he wanted to prove, like, hey, I'm a Mustang now, and we're here to win.
For sure. It kind of blew me away that he was able to have not that many 100-yard games. I feel like he's physically, you know, athletically just so much, I think, you know, head and toes above so many of the other players at the FCS level. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a FBS talent playing at the FCS level for sure. What kind of blew me away was, given his running style this year, it seemed like he was somebody who's such a bruiser that this year he was able to stay healthy for as many games as it took to get 10 100-yard games and to rack up however many yards he's racked up this season. I didn't see what the total was after last night. But, you know, the concept that the one game that he didn't get 100 yards, it was because he left the Weber State game early with an ankle injury, I think. How do you think he's been able to stay so healthy throughout the year? I mean, he's been getting 20, 25 rushes every single game.
He hits the training room all the time. I actually have class with Deontay, and I get to talk to him about this stuff. He's a great guy. And he hits the training room. He stretches out. He does anything that he can to make his game better and to be able to perform on Saturday nights. Like, anything that's going to make him better, he's going to do it. And it's awesome to see that.
Cool. Yeah. Who's been the most fun Mustang to interview this year?
Ooh, that's tough. They're all so much fun to interview. They all have their really unique personalities. One of my favorite, I think, has been Nick DeZubnar, and it was a post-game interview. It was right after the game. It was right after the win. I'm actually blanking on what game it was, but he's really energetic, and he had so much personality giving that back to the camera, and that was awesome.
Nick, of course, intercepted last night's game, and we'll get into the NAU game a little bit here too. Last night's game, he, you know, the
offense gave up a defensive touchdown to NAU. I think it was a fumbled pitch, mm-hmm. And the NAU player ran it back for a touchdown, and it was 14-7, I think, at that point, NAU. And I said to myself, and I think I even posted something about the defense has to come up with some kind of equalizer to that, because mm-hmm. the teams were so closely linked, closely related. And I think it was the next NAU possession. Mm-hmm. I think Nick DeZubinar picked it off and ran it back for a touchdown. It was kind of, okay, there it is. And now the momentum's kind of back where it needs to be for Cal Poly.
Yeah, it was so exciting to be able to see Nick do that. I was watching the game, and I was cheering. I was so excited. And Nick and I are actually from the same hometown, so I've been able to watch him.
Which is?
Orange County, California, South Orange County. And we went to rival high schools. Yep. I went to Tesoro High School, and he went to Mission Viejo.
Okay.
And I've been able to watch him all throughout high school, and it's fun to see him come up here and do such great things. So I'm a huge Nick DeZubinar fan. It was great.
Was he a dominator in high school too? Was he like a linebacker, running back kind of thing?
Oh yeah, he definitely dominated that league. It was great.
Yeah, cool. Talk to me about when you're a student. You're talking about watching the game last night, or yesterday, I guess it was. Did you watch it with other people? I'm kind of interested in kind of what the student interest is in away games. Is there like a group of people that gets together at Firestone or something? Was it on? I mean, I don't think it was on there, but what is that like for you as somebody who wants to follow Cal Poly football and who's on campus as a student?
Yeah, well, I was able to actually watch it with my roommates because they're Cal Poly football fans. Right. So we all kind of gathered around. We were watching
like a
it.
Big computer screen or something.
Yeah,
right? Yeah,
definitely. And usually there's groups of people. You meet at people's houses. It's definitely a lot bigger of a scene when it's a home game, obviously. But when it's not, you make the effort to do it. And I know even like the guys that didn't travel, they like all like come together and they have like a whole time where they watch it together as a team. So I think that's really cool. And
cool, yeah. I know one thing on the Cal Poly message boards, and there are some, believe it or not, that talk about the student body turnout and the by the fourth quarter a lot of the time, and it's true there weren't a lot of close games at home this year, mm-hmm. but by the fourth quarter a lot of the time this year, I know the student section was kind of thinning out quite a mm-hmm. bit. What do you think what do you think's the reason for that? As somebody who's a student.
Yeah, I think this year we've been dominating teams, so I feel like it's like, okay, well, we're gonna win. But I've been really impressed at the people that have been saying, and how afterwards when the team comes up and they sing "Ride High, You Mustangs," how the students will be chanting "undefeated," or at that point in the season they were,
sure.
And they've been really supportive, and I've definitely seen that grow this season from past years, and it's been really exciting.
As a student, what are some things you think the team, I mean, obviously winning is something they've been doing this year,
yeah.
So the first thing you got to do is win every year to get more fans and a bigger fan base at your games. What do you think something that the university or that the athletic department could do to raise their, I mean, they're at about 8,000 a game average. The Spanos holds about 10,000.
Mm-hmm.
What are some things that they need to do to be able to get that attendance up? Is it a matter of getting more students to the games? Is it a matter of marketing on campus? Is it a matter of marketing to the community? I mean, San Luis Obispo is in a huge community, so that's not always the easiest thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
What are your impressions about that as somebody from Orange County originally? So,
mm-hmm.
you know, having a picture for places with larger populations, what are some things that you think, Cal Poly can do to increase that?
I think pursuing the community is a really good idea, because the students are very aware of, yeah, there's a game this weekend, we're going to go. Like, it's a home game, it's a huge deal. But I think bringing the community in would bring so many more people, and like starting like the kids off at a young age, like coming and being fans of Cal Poly and then being fans as they grow up. And I think even reaching out to Slo High would be a really good idea, because this is their local college, and I think that'd be really cool for them to come out and see the college football team, and especially like the Slo High football team. I think they should be coming out to watch the games too, because it's inspiration, they're role models.
Sure, and one thing that I always feel like is really cool is the practices being open, both with basketball,
mm-hmm.
football. I think all the practices, actually, there's no like closed practices
oh, yeah.
at Cal Poly, so you can just go and watch,
yeah.
and anybody could, and it always kind of, and maybe it happens more than I think, but it always kind of baffles me how If I was a, a soccer coach in the area, I would want to go see Paul Holher's team practice soccer
because
he's probably like the highest level coach in the area.
Yeah.
Same with Tim Walsh with football. And I sat through a practice earlier in the season, in the preseason, and just the precision with which they went through their drills and the different drills that they were doing and what they were emphasizing always seemed like something that I would want to kind of get with a little bit more if I was a coach. And maybe that's a way to do that. That being said, when I went to the soccer game against UCSB, and it was my first UCSB soccer game this year, did you get a chance to check it out?
I was actually not in town for
you weren't
that,
in town, okay. But you've been
I've
one before.
I've been to the games, of course.
It's insane. And the energy level, and we're talking kind of about Cal Poly football here and in relationship to it. I mean, there's only five Cal Poly football games. There's only one soccer game that gets like that.
Right.
And there's five football games or so per year. But still, only five. I always like, and maybe it's me being pessimistic about it, but I always say, why can't, why couldn't the population rally to this kind of a fevered level? I mean, there were people climbing the fence at the soccer game, like sneaking in, people three and four rows deep on each side of the end of each goal, on the back row. Fans were there, over half the stadium was filled an hour before the game. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a real spectacle.
Yeah.
What do you think the football program can do to make the football games closer to that kind of a spectacle? Because I think all the fans want something even a little bit more. There's always a next level, I guess, is how I'll put it, to get to, right?
Right. I think, well, something that makes a soccer team, or that specific game, the UCSB game, so popular is that it's such a big rival.
A rivalry, yeah.
Yeah, it's such a huge rivalry, and Santa Barbara's only an hour and a half away, and we have a lot of friends that go to both schools, so it's like a big rivalry game.
Right.
And I think due to the fact that Cal Poly isn't a new conference this year, and we still, like, obviously
we're still getting
Davis,
used to all the teams that we're playing.
Is exactly, kind of, yeah, we're still getting used to that. And yeah, Davis is a big rival, of course, but I feel that more students have friends at the University of Santa Barbara,
right.
So I feel like that is a big draw to it.
Yeah.
And also the fact that we're new to the Big Sky Conference, and once we build those relationships with those teams, I definitely think that we could definitely draw more people.
So you grew up in South Orange County, like the Mission Viejo area?
I did.
Okay. And Tesoro High School is the one you went. So where did your passion for football come from? Is there a family like passion? Is that something that runs in your family, or is that something you just kind of picked up and did in high school as far as being a football fan, or is that something that's kind of you've done for your whole life?
Yeah, my dad's actually in the sports industry, and I grew up just loving football. I grew up going to USC football practices. We're friends with Pete Carroll.
Okay.
So I was able to attend those practices and just be immersed in the program, and I loved it. I love the big athletes. I love the hard hits. I just love everything about it. It's a fast-paced game. It's just so much fun, and I love just being down there in the center of it. It's great.
Cool. And so how would you compare? I mean, so you've been around USC, mm-hmm. and the way their program was run under Pete Carroll, which was obviously they're pretty successful.
Right.
How would you compare the feel around the teams as far as when you're able to watch practice or be it with Cal Poly pregame? What is that? What's the comparison like? I would imagine there's not a lot of comparison because it's such a big difference, but maybe there's some.
I definitely think there's some comparisons. When I was able to attend Pete Carroll's practices, he is such an incredibly positive person, and he's always smiling and running around the field, and he's just so excited and passionate about what he's doing. And I think Coach Walsh is the exact same way at practice. He's smiling, he's having a good time, he's joking around with the players, but he keeps them focused on what they need to do. But he's such he's such a great coach, and all the players really love that about him. I mean, that's what draws them to Cal Poly, is a great coaching staff. And in any sport, that's definitely what's going to make or break your situation, is if it's a great coach or not.
Great. As you look at Cal Poly's playoff chances, and now they have to go on the road, Sam Houston State is 8-3,
right.
And two of their three losses were to a Big 12 school in
A&M and Baylor.
Baylor, yeah, they lost to Baylor in the Big 12, and then A&M's in the SEC now,
right.
And they're having a great season in the SEC. Their quarterback's up for the Heisman, and that's who they lost to last week, and they lost to him pretty respectably, I think by under 30 points. So looking at Sam Houston State, they're definitely no slouch, even though they have one more loss than Cal Poly. What do you think is going to be Cal Poly's focus going into a game on the road against a team that they haven't kind of scouted for all year? What does this week look like for them, probably?
I think a big focus is going to be defense, because obviously the quarterback at Sam Houston State is he's a passing quarterback. And I think that's going to be a big thing, is focusing on the defense against the pass. And
that's something Cal Poly struggled with at times throughout the year, although the Big Sky is a big passing conference.
Right.
They've given up a lot of yards at times.
Yeah, and I think that's something that is going to be definitely focused on this week very heavily. And I'm really excited to see how it all turns out, because I really believe that the hard work that the team has been doing this entire season, and when they go out and play, I think they have the opportunity to shock the world and show people that, hey, we're here, we're Mustangs, and we're going to do work, and we're going to win. And I think it's a huge recruiting tool to bring in more talented players, because, like, hey, look what we're doing now.
Yeah, so the basketball team has been able to recruit Texas lately. Right. Jamal Johnson's from Texas.
Yeah.
They have two recruits this year that are from Texas who just signed their letters of intent to come play. Is that something you think that Coach Walsh could and wants to do at some point? Or is that just kind of a I mean, obviously he didn't go play Sam Houston State on purpose, but
right.
You talk about it being a recruiting tool for that whole region to get shown. Is that something you think could be like an unintended consequence or benefit for the program?
Oh, I definitely do. I know I've actually spoken to Coach Walsh about recruiting out of state, actually. And I know he believes that in California, you're going to find the best football players in the country. But I definitely believe the exposure for Cal Poly football and the Mustang football program in Texas will be huge, because people will be like, oh, you're playing out here. That's awesome. And Texas is a huge football state.
Yeah, Sam Houston State hasn't had to go out of state but one time this year.
Mm-hmm.
and I think that was they played in Louisiana. So, like,
right.
They've never had to, like, get on a plane, I don't think, even the whole year, because there's so many schools that are around where they are, and maybe their home schedule allowed for the farther away schools in their conference to come to them this year. But I thought that was a really interesting kind of they've been so Texas centered. I mean, Cal Poly's gone to North Dakota, they've gone to Arizona, gone to,
we travel.
Absolutely. You know, Eastern Washington, Utah, there's been a lot of places that Cal Poly's played this year. How do you think that's going to benefit them when it comes to another road trip to a faraway place?
I think it's just experience, that we've done it so much and we know what happens on the road. It's a schedule, and everybody knows what their job is. It's not like fun and games. They know that we're here to do a job and we're here to execute. So I think that's definitely going to be an advantage, even though they are playing at their home stadium. I think that because we know how to win on the road, I think that's definitely an advantage.
Did you notice the white jerseys again came out? It was the white jerseys that used to have the light gold numbers, and it looked like they painted them dark green this time. Do you know anything about, like, the jersey selection and all the hullabaloo that went around that? I know for the Sac State game, and
I know people were saying that the numbers were too light and it was difficult to see the numbers because they blended in with the jersey, but I actually don't know too much about the changing of that or anything.
All right. I mean, and so the jerseys in general, though, this year, I mean, I think they've worn, counting this last game, maybe five different jersey color combinations.
Yeah.
Is that something that for a player or for a student even going to the game, is that something that kind of adds appeal to going to the game, for a player adds appeal to even, like, as a recruiting tool to coming to Cal Poly, to have so many different uniform combinations?
Oh, yeah. As a player, definitely, because – it's just awesome. The players see it as like, oh, yeah, we get all this different swag. It's awesome. So they love the feeling of just being able to wear something new. And I know when they get all their jerseys and their gear, it's like Christmas in July. They were so excited when they got to wear those gold jerseys. They were posting pictures on Facebook, on Instagram. They're like, yeah, we look fly right now. It's great.
Yeah, they were sharp.
Oh, yeah. And then for students, it's definitely cool because it makes it seem like it's almost like an organ. Like, they have so many different combinations. So for the students, I know everyone was really excited to see those new jerseys because it's different. It's new. So it's fresh.
It's fresh, yeah, absolutely. And keeps the energy fresh. I'm talking with Katie Ryan from the Line of Scrimmage blog, and I'm going to let her give the URL one more time.
It's calpolyfootball.wordpress.com, and you can also find it on Facebook at facebook.com/thelineofscrimmageblog.
And Katie's on the sidelines for all the home games, and taking pictures of all kinds of things that surround the program. Are you going to do anything special this week for the playoff week and Thanksgiving week? Are you hanging around? Are students hanging around? What's the student schedule for this week?
We have class on Monday and Tuesday, and then we have the rest of the week off. So most people are going to be going home. I'm going to be going home to see my family, but before I do, I'm definitely going to be getting a lot of player interviews, so I can still be posting throughout the week.
And being on the quarter system, Polly's got to get those couple days in. It's always a rush on the quarter system. I see a ton of students actually at the library studying. Maybe there's tests before they go or something like that. Are there any big midterms coming up before you got to go?
I have a paper actually due tomorrow, but I've done most of my midterms. But when we get back, it's definitely back to the grind. Dead week is always a very busy time at the library.
Thank you for listening to the Fansmanship.com podcast. For more news, opinions, and podcasts, go to www.fansmanship.com. Till I'm black and blue.